Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message and learn more about God, life, and you. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationemmonton.com and follow us on Instagram at celebrationedm. Enjoy this message.
I want to pick up today in Acts chapter 3 and read a story from Scripture for you as kind of the background, backdrop to where we're going here today. So if you want to follow along with me, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. You ready for the word? Awesome. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand and helping him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This was a time of prayer. This was predictable. This was not random. These guys didn't get out of bed in the morning and go, "You know, I kind of feel like going to church. How about you?" No, that wasn't what it was. This was part of their walk with God. This was like their routine, if you will. This is what we do. And for, you know, those of you who are here and maybe you come out of like a traditional church background, you're kind of like, that can be one of the reasons, there can be other reasons, but sometimes the word routine conjures up almost like a negative, like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I've been involved in that before." And you know, and it's like you can even think that way about church, and where it's like, "Oh yeah, this is a routine. We always went through this routine, going through the motions." And so the idea of routine might be negative actually in your mind. But the truth of the matter is that there is much of our life that is actually built on routine. And I just want to take a moment here as we begin to talk about how much of routine is actually a great thing. So that as I say that word, you won't be thinking, "Did he say poutine?" It's 12:30, poutine. I'm sure he said poutine truck outside. You continue to believe that, that's fine. But we're going to talk about routine. And I just want to frame it in your mind to realize how much of routine is such a powerful and positive thing in your life. For instance, going to work is a good routine. And you know the days, it's predictable. And you know when you got to be there. And you know when you come home and all of that. But that routine leads to another routine called payday. And we like that routine in our life, don't we? Yeah, yeah. Garbage day is a routine that you are often reminded about by your spouse. Moving right along. Meal times are another great routine. And we know they're a good routine because if you miss one, you get grumpy. All right, you're going to sit there and lie in church. That's your problem. Come on, guys. If we miss one, we get grumpy. Yeah. It's not just me. Okay, meal times. Exercise. People that go to the gym usually don't go all kind of willy-nilly, walk in, look at the equipment, go, "What am I going to do today?" They usually have some kind of routine, you know. "Oh, today is calves and abs. I'm going to do calves and abs." You know, or whatever it is, they got it figured out. If you're learning an instrument, you usually have a routine that you're working with to learn the skill of hitting those notes and moving, you know, from note to note, chord to chord, whatever it is. Safety. You work in construction. There's a routine of what you do. Okay, you're climbing up there. Here's what you wear. Here's where you hook up. Here's what you put on your feet. Here's what you wear on your eyes. Here's what you wear on your head. There's a routine that you go through to keep it safe. Our eating habits have routine when we're trying to get in shape or lose weight. Our spending habits have routine when we're trying to pay off debt or save up money. It's called a budget. Basically, it's a fancy word for our routine. And so we have all these things that operate in routine. You know, God made the world to work on routine. The world has a routine. Tomorrow is Monday. Today is Sunday. The day after is Tuesday. How do you know that? Because that's the routine. 7 days in a row, here's how they go. And then 12 months of the year, it's the routine. Today's daytime, but the nighttime's going to come. But that's okay. It's for a season. And then tomorrow morning, daylight comes again. It's amazing. It happens every single day. It's the routine that God created. There are four seasons that exist. There's spring, summer, fall, and winter. There's the, you know, so the world is created with routine. Our human bodies are created with routine. Breathing, it's a routine. Your heart pumping, it's a routine. It's like, here's how often it's got to pump. It just does it. Sleeping and awake time is a routine. And we know it's important to us because when we miss it, we're tired. And so there's routine that is put into life that's actually a healthy thing. It's good for us. It really works for us. And so we've got to pay attention to that. And because it works for us, it works for us not just in a few things, but it actually works in many things. And I want to just talk to you for a few minutes about the importance of routine. And then we're going to relate it to even our spiritual life and our walk with God. But I want to consider some of the benefits of routine in life. First of all, routine reinforces good habits. It reinforces good habits. You know, good habits are only good if they're repeated, if they become a habit. Otherwise, it was just a good deed. But there are things in life that need to be more than a good deed. They need to be a good habit. It's like, this is what I do over and over. In other words, the real benefit of doing this good thing is the fact that it has become something that is repeated often in my life. And then it becomes to us second nature. It's not any longer like something that I do once in a while. I work at doing it, but it's like, no, this is second nature. This is my routine. This is just part of me. You know, when you became a Christian and you gave your life to Christ, there were things that you did that were new to you that maybe took a lot of effort, but today they're just who you are. Like maybe even when you first gave your life to the Lord, you used to once in a while go to church, but now that you got serious about your walk with God, you're like, I want to be in God's house every week. I want to worship him. I want to learn his word. I want to fellowship with other Christians. I want to grow in my relationship with Jesus. So you consciously made a decision that Sunday was no longer the day that you slept till 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but you got out of bed and you began going to church as a regular routine. And it's grown your walk with God. And it's become your routine. And it's now no longer something that it's like, oh, am I going to go to church this week? I don't know. And you put a lot of effort into it. No, it's just part of who you are. It's become your routine. It's become your life. Holiness is one of those things that maybe started with a lot of effort, but now it's just who you are. You know, maybe when you first got saved, it was like you had to be intentional that Friday night was not, let's go out and get loaded, right? Some of you don't know what I just said. Anyway, that's fine. We'll leave it at that. But instead, it's like, no, I'm going to do something else on my Friday nights now. I'm following Jesus. My heart's changed about those things. But now that decision to not go out and get drunk on Friday nights, oh, that's what he meant. It's just how you do life. This is how you do life. And so, you know, and then there's good habits that you're building in your life that are things where it's like you're intentional. But when you first did it, it was like, okay, this is taking effort. This is like a conscious decision. I think one of those would be like giving. You know, like when you first become a Christian, you come to church and you're like, wow, man, I can't believe it. I put like 10 bucks in the offering today. Woo, look at me. And you're all excited about that. Then you start reading God's word and you find out about his plan for prosperity and generosity. And you find out that God actually says in his word that there's this principle called tithing that is about our passion for him and financing the kingdom of God and the spreading of the gospel, which is why there's 9 baptisms that happened today. And 15,000 people were on site hearing about Jesus last weekend. And so maybe like the first time that you actually did that, where you actually said, I'm gonna tithe, It was like this huge step with a lot of energy and planning and you know, changing some things in your budget. Like, okay, I'm gonna do this, you know, And it was like this really, you know, big deal. But your faith was engaged to realize that God said, I'll actually take you further with 90% than you can go with 100. And so you decided to do that. You engaged in that. But once that becomes your routine, it's not even a thought anymore. It's not like, am I or am I not? The question has left the table. It's like, no, it's who I am. It's become my routine. It's just part of my life. My expectation is God's blessing. I put faith towards him as I give all of those things and God blesses. And so as we do that, we just move forward with him and we find ourselves walking in this reinforcement of good habits. Well, here's the second thought about routine. That is this: it positions you to advance. The routines you build in your life will position you to advance. Let's have a look at the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says this. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds. Wow, what a slip up that was. Of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward. Can we just say that together? We will move forward to further understanding. The scripture is telling us that once we have made this decision and once we have made fundamental teachings about following Jesus and are embrace that and are living a life of holiness and faith towards God is just part of our routine. This is how we do life. We take steps that are about trusting Jesus, following Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of our life is really what it's talking about. In other words, when we embrace that, when we get that in our lives where it's like, it's now about following God's word, it's now about going his way, not my way, it's now about building a life around what the scriptures say in terms of the direction and values and intentionality that should be in our life, he says, now that Jesus is established as the Lord of your life, you're in a position where you can actually move forward. You can move forward. But if we're still dabbling in evil deeds, if we're still dabbling in immorality, if we're still dabbling in drunkenness, if we're still dabbling in dishonesty or just resisting God and, you know, constantly like questioning his word instead of trusting his word, then he says, listen, if you're still going to live that way, which is basically immaturity, by the way, he says, then you're not going to move forward. You're not going to move forward. In other words, to advance onto maturity in your relationship with God, holiness and righteous living, submission to Christ as the Lord of your life has to be secured as just the routine or the way we do life. And part of that is just the faith that you build towards the Lord. You know, if at every trial you find yourself questioning God's love, and this happens with people, you know, they get into a trial, they get into a challenging situation, and now all of a sudden they're, well, I'm not really sure that God loves me. Why did this happen to me? You know, why did God allow this? And they start to doubt, and they just sort of go off track, and then they're so discouraged. Well, I don't feel like going to church today, all the rest of it. Because why? Because you're not living in faith towards Jesus. Romans chapter 8 says that these challenges, when they come into your life, are not a statement about God's love towards you. In other words, I can have a circumstantial challenge, but it means nothing about my position and relationship with God. What it means to me is that I've got to fight it, I've got to deal with it, and what I've got to keep my faith placed in is the fact that God hasn't left me because of bad circumstances come into my life. That he's still with me, he still loves me, he's still on my side, and I can walk with him through this and realize his strength and his capacity to help me overcome and deal with the challenge rather than going to a place of unbelief where I'm starting to question whether God loves me in the challenge. Are you getting this? That's where God wants us. That's the stability. When we secure those things, then we're positioned to a place where we can move forward. Why? Because we're not always in faith, all back in unbelief. In faith, back in unbelief. Confident, now questioning. No. He says, just stay at that place regardless of what is going on in your life of knowing God loves you, he's with you, he'll see you through. Here's the third thought about this, and that is it allows you, your routine allows you to build today on your yesterday. Build today on your yesterday. Routine is what allows you to do that. When you get routine out of your life, the opposite can happen. You can actually destroy your yesterday instead of building on it. You see, routine is what allows you to have a budget, for instance. That's part of your routine. And you know what a budget is? A budget is boring faithfulness. It is. I mean, it's like, here's where the numbers go. Here's what we got to pay. Here's what it costs to live. You know, that's what a budget is, right? It's just like boring faithfulness. Wah, wah, same thing, month after month, boring, boring, boring. But that boring faithfulness called routine will lead you to exciting fruitfulness. It'll take you to a place where all of a sudden you're going, look at that, the mortgage is paid off. Why? Because we had years of boring faithfulness that led us to this exciting fruit. Look at that, we've saved up. Now we can pay cash for the car instead of wondering how much they'll lend us. Why? Because we got this deal, this routine going, and you keep building on your yesterday, and it just keeps getting better. And in that faithfulness towards God, you can come into your year end and get a tax receipt from the church and go, my goodness, I am living a generous life. I am at that point where I'm actually engaging in financing the kingdom of God and following God in that area of my life. Boring faithfulness leads to exciting fruitfulness. But we also know that all you have to do is get off track in your budget, and you can find yourself right back at a place where we got to catch up. Where instead of building on our yesterday, we actually tore down our yesterday. And now we got to catch up again. Why? Because we got out of our routine. Got out of our routine. People who are, you know, dealing with their health and getting themselves in shape, and they get on an eating plan, you know, where it's like, man, this is my diet. This is what I'm doing week after week. This is what I eat. This is what I don't eat. I'm going to stick to my plan. They get on the scales and everything's going forward. But all it takes is a day. Oh, my God. You know. You went to that birthday party. You ate that cake that was that thick. And then what happens? You just tore down not only your yesterday, you tore down last month. And you get back on the scales and you're like, I didn't think it could go that high. But when you stick with it, you build on your yesterday, Marriage is the same way. Your faithfulness in marriage builds on your yesterday. Just keeps it strong, keeps it going. But it's sad to say that unfaithfulness in marriage can break down not only yesterday, but years in a heartbeat. Routine involves consistency, and often consistency is the ingredients of improvement in our life. And one of the ways that I've seen the impact of consistency or inconsistency is actually how people relate to church and how they connect to the church. People who are sporadic once in a while, they'll come, they'll be like, wow, I really got something out of today that, you know, that really spoke to me today, that's great. But ultimately they are limiting what God actually wants to do in their lives. And for God to do what he wants to do in your life, he has to become your number one priority. In other words, a relationship with Jesus cannot be a hobby that you pick up and then you set it down and then you pick it up because you're feeling a little spiritually dry. I better pick it up again. Uh-oh, I'm going to set it down because I just got busy and distracted. It cannot be a hobby. A relationship with Jesus is a lifestyle. It's follow Jesus 24/7, not just part-time. And people who are consistent in doing that are building on their yesterday and seeing God advance them in their life. And years ago, what might have been a temptation that they would fall into and was overwhelming to them, today is not even a second thought. There's victory in their life, and there's this whole new routine about a daily time with God and stuff like that that's strengthening them. But because of consistency, those things have now become just, this is how I do life. This is part of who I am. They've redefined themselves and find themselves now actively ministering to others rather than just being concerned about whether they'll get victory this week over something in their own world. And they're able to build on their yesterday because of their consistency. Have a look at this scripture, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. He says, I have a lot more to say about this, but it is hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves. Yet here I find you need someone to sit down with you and go over the basics of God again, starting from square one, baby's milk, when you should have been on solid food long ago. Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature, who have some practice in telling right from wrong. The scripture here is addressing people who are not growing, people who are not progressing in their walk with God. Instead of building on their yesterday, they just keep repeating their yesterday. The problem is this, is they're repeating the same habits. They're repeating the same inconsistencies. They're repeating the same problems. They're just staying immature when it comes to a walk with God. And the picture that it gives is this picture of a baby and an adult. That's the image that it works with. And you think about a baby. Babies are self-centered. Babies, it's always about me. You know, with babies, they cry a lot and for no reason, at least no seemingly reason anyway. They are the non-contributors. They create the biggest mess. They complain the most. And they want all of your attention. I mean, that's the infant life. Sadly, believers could be described with similar words. Adults are self-feeders. Adults actually move from it's all about me to it's all about what I can contribute, what I can be responsible for, what others can count on coming from me is what it's all about. And they're fruitful and they're putting their attention on the needs of others. You see, routine is not about repeating the same mistakes and problems and immature behavior. It's about practicing righteousness. The scripture said, who through practice, they've trained themselves to understand the difference between good and evil. I think a good image of this would be an athlete. You know, I've talked to some different athletes. Some of them are at Olympic level. And when you talk to them about their life, man, they're like a machine. I get up at this time. I'm at the gym at this time. I go through this routine. I'm there this many hours. Then I take a break. Then I go back. And it's the same routine, day after day after day after day. Why? Because they are practicing their routine to see themselves get to the highest level they can possibly get in whatever happens to be their area of sport. Well, our walk with God grows by what we practice, by what becomes our routine. And so through practicing telling the difference between right and wrong, we grow. We get to a point where, no, I can discern that. That's wrong. This is right. We practice following Jesus. We don't just claim Jesus. We don't just say, yeah, Jesus is Lord. But when we come to a crossroads of our emotions and his word, we choose his word. When we come to a crossroads of what we feel the Holy Spirit is putting on our heart to do and what we'd sooner do, we choose the Holy Spirit, what he's put on our heart. Why? Because we're practicing the lordship of Jesus. We're practicing following Jesus. When we come to a crossroads where it's like we'd like to give somebody a piece of our mind, we keep our peace. Come on. Practicing following Jesus. We're practicing, you know, responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, as you're walking with God, God puts things on your heart. And what do? You can either ignore that, and so you don't grow in that area, or you decide, I need to grow in my relationship to the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit puts things on my heart to do, I'm just going to practice that. What are you growing in? You're growing in your ability to hear and to follow and develop your relationship with the Lord in your relationship with the Holy Spirit in your life. You practice following God's word. You practice living by faith and taking steps of faith. And we talked about one earlier when we talked about giving. It could be a big step of faith. But you're practicing. Why? Because you want to grow into full maturity. You want to go forward. You want to build on your yesterday. You want to become everything that God wants you to become. And whatever you practice is what you're building into your life. You know, the scripture we read earlier said this. It said, by this time, you ought to be. In other words, here's what God was saying. He's saying, I actually believe more about you than you do about you. That's what he's saying. God's saying, listen, to this church, as the scripture's being written, he's saying, I actually believe that you could be here, but you've chosen to stay here. And I want you to come up into what you should actually be. But my question to you today is this. By this time, what should you ought to be? By this time, what should you ought to be? In other words, has there been something in your life where you've been delaying maturing and growth? Has there been something that you ought to be, but you haven't really put any energy into it? Maybe by this time, you know, you ought to be in a connect group. Oh, I didn't even get an amen or a grunt off of that one. It's not about being in the group, by the way. It is about you being known by other believers in this church so that when your name comes up, we're like, oh, yeah, I know who that person is. That you're not like, oh, I've been going there for 15 years and my name's still a mystery. Nobody knows me. Why? Because you've never connected. You've never connected relationally, and that's actually not scriptural. That's not God's design for your life. He wants you in healthy relationships with other believers. Maybe by this time, you should actually be stepping up and running and leading a connect group. Come on. Maybe by this time, you should be serving. You should be on one of the teams. You should be contributing and making a difference rather than making another excuse of why you're not making a difference. By this time, that's where you should be. By this time, you should be leading a team. You're not just in the background reading leadership books. Hello, come on. But you actually get involved and you actually contribute and you actually make a difference in people's lives. By this time, you should be leading a team. By this time, here's a good one. By this time, you should be reaching out to friends and family. Whoa, come on. So many times believers, you know, they're just walking with God and keeping their mouth shut in the wrong places. But by this time, you should be confident. By this time, you should be bold. By this time, you should be engaging in that conversation and making a difference and reaching somebody for Jesus and not being silent about that and quiet about that. By this time, you should be breaking past habits and conquering things in your life. By this time, you should be giving tithes and offerings. Come on. Rather than staying in immaturity, because that's what it is when we are full of excuses of why we can't follow God in areas of our life. But by this time, you should be at a completely different place. You should be building on your yesterday to become everything God wants you to be in your tomorrow. And by this time, I should be a lot further along in this message. But at any rate, you know, routine builds predictability into your future. Builds predictability. It's a great thing in that way. Why? Because of the law of reciprocity and sowing and reaping. And the things that we do, the things that we sow into over and over and over, determine the outcome, determine where we're going into our future. Well, Jesus builds a life of routine. Let me give you a couple of scriptures about that, and then we're going to begin to move this into how this affects us. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, says this. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. As was his custom, he stood up to read. As was his custom, Jesus goes to the synagogue. As was his custom. In other words, he was a part of being in the house of God, being in church, the synagogue as it's called. That was just a part of his spiritual routine. Luke 22, 39. Jesus left and made his way to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom, and his disciples followed him. Why was he going to the Mount of Olives? He was going there to pray. He was going there to spend alone time. He was going there to turn off his iPad, his iPhone, his television, his 8-track, his whatever they had back then, and just get alone with God. He was having a personal, quiet time with God. That was his custom. That was what he did. And these things are to be played out in our life as well. So let's have a look at this really quickly. Establish spiritual routines. Everything gets built through routine. Establish spiritual routines. Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Here's what the scripture is saying. Together, you're going to become more than you would ever become by yourself. That's basically what he's saying. He's saying, when you get together, we're going to spur one another on to what? Love and good deeds. In other words, more is going to happen than if you weren't together. If you get in the routine that says, well, I'm not really at church very often. I'm kind of, I believe in Jesus. So I'm a Christian, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not really in church very, he's saying this. You're going to be less of what God wants you to be than if you'd have gotten together. If you'd have built the routine of connecting and involving and engaging in church together, two things can happen. He says you're going to be spurred on towards love and good deeds. What's love? Love is unselfishness. And left on our own, when we are isolated and independent and disconnected, our tendency is to think of ourselves first. To be selfish, to be like, I'm not thinking about how I can make a difference in somebody else's life. I'm just thinking about what I want. But he says, listen, together we can encourage us to move from selfishness to love, which is unselfishness. Together we can encourage one another in good deeds. In other words, becoming a person of action, not just of opinion. So easy to be somebody with an opinion. I mean, everybody's got an opinion. Opinions are cheap. But he says, you're going to be encouraged not just to have an opinion, but to actually be a person of action. Or not just to be a person of belief, but a person of action. Oh, I believe we need to win the world for Jesus. What are you doing about it? Encouraging one another to take action. What limits the impact that church is meant to have on your walk with the Lord is that you keep it at a level where you attend, but you don't engage. And my encouragement to you is get engaged in what's going on. And I would have to say this, that out of engagement, out of relationships that I've built over the years in church life, that I am doing more than I would have had I not have engaged in relationships. That I am at a place where I am because of the impact of relationships. Had I not had them, I would not be here. Here's the second routine that we're to build in our life. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. He's saying, I'm concerned about something. I'm concerned that you could lose sight of sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That word devotion literally means this, private worship. He's saying there's this value that you need in your life, and don't be deceived into thinking that you don't need it. But there needs to be private worship. So there's the corporate side. We just talked about that. But then there's the private side. There's the alone time. There's the going to the olive, you know, the olive farm, as Jesus would go to, getting away from it all. And you having your time, whatever that looks like, where it's about reading your Bible, praying, getting away, getting in solitude, spending that time with God. There's this amazing thing that happens with Peter, and I want to reflect on it because it ties into this. When Peter comes to church, as was his custom, it was 3 o'clock, the hour of prayer. That's what we do. For him, it was routine. And thank God it was, because if he didn't show up that day, he would have missed an opportunity that God had for him. Hello. He shows up. God interjects into the routine the miraculous and something amazing that I'm sure he wasn't going to the church thinking, oh, I'll probably, you know, help some guy who's lame and get him walking today. No, for him, it was like, I'm just doing what I should be doing. But he was at the right place at the right time that the Spirit of God could move on his life and say, okay, let's do this. But there's something amazing that happens. When the guy looks at him and is begging for money, he looks back and he says, silver and gold have I none. And then he says this, what I have, I give to you. What an amazing statement that is. He didn't say what I've heard about. He didn't say what I learned in church. He didn't say what I saw Jesus do. He had a sense of possession to it. He had a sense of ownership where he says, I've got this. I've got this. And I'm going to give it to you. And so what had happened was the whole promises that Jesus had given them of you will heal the sick, you will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And all of those promises, Peter in his own personal meditation, in his own time with God, in his own time spent with Jesus one-on-one, had gotten that into his heart to where when he was ministering, it wasn't just, well, this is what the master told us about a few days ago before, you know, he ascended to heaven. It was like, I got this. This is mine. I own this. This is God has put this in my spirit, and now I'm going to minister it to you. And he raises this guy up, and he's walking. Listen, when you have your personal time with God, where you're opening up your Bible and reading scripture, and the Holy Spirit quickens something out of that that goes into your heart, that is one of those Peter moments where it's like, what I have, I can give to you. I got this. This is mine. Where'd you get it? I got it from Jesus. How'd you get it? I got it in private. You weren't there. You weren't supposed to be there. It was just me and him. And he spoke this into my heart. So I've got this. Whatever it is that God's going to do in your life, he's going to put faith inside of you that says, I got this and I can do this. Why? Because I spent personal time with Jesus and he put it in my heart. So I know God's going to do something amazing through me. God wants to put that inside of you. Okay, one last routine, and then we got to bring this thing to a close. Acts 5:42. Every day, everybody say every day. Every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. I just want to say to you, every day there is somebody in your world that you can move forward into a relationship with God in some way. You might be at such a starting level, it's just going for coffee and getting to know each other or whatever it may be. But every day there is somebody in your world that you can take a step that will help them on their journey to knowing Jesus. Go into every day and you can start today thinking about who's in your world today. Go into your Monday tomorrow thinking who's in my world today that I can do something that will help move them forward in their relationship with Jesus. Let's stand as we take time to pray. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you so much for how you work in our world. Lord, I pray for everyone who's here who recognizes today maybe some areas of routine that have become like bad habits or areas of routine that are just missing. And God, as we work to change that, as we work to mold that, as we work to rework those things in our life, thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for empowering us. Thank you for enabling us, God, to go forward in those things and to make a difference in those areas of our life so that, God, we can experience the best of what you have for our lives. You know, just before we wrap up, I want to pray one more prayer for people to receive Jesus as the Lord of their life. And, you know, maybe as I talk today about, you know, following Christ can't be a hobby. It can't be like, I'm in, I'm out. It has to be something where it's a solid decision where Jesus is Lord. And now I'm practicing following him. That's my lifestyle. That's my life choice. And if that decision hasn't been made, this is an opportunity for you to make it. This is an opportunity for you to respond to God and say, Lord, I'm in. 100%. I'm not just trying. I'm dying to my old life, and I'm following Jesus with all of my heart. I want to give you that opportunity to talk to God right where you're standing and to make that right between you and him. You can join me in this prayer with our heads bowed. How many here would say, Pastor, you know what? Include me in that prayer. That's my decision today. I'm all in. Can you just raise your hand? Give me a wave. Let me know. Hey, man, include me in that prayer. That's where I'm at. I'm all in today. That's awesome. Let's pray with those who are praying. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. You gave your whole life to pay for my past. I ask you to forgive me, and I invite you into my life, confessing you as my Savior and my Lord. I'm going to follow you every day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you would like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.